ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। रीडिंग फ्रॉम श्रीमद् भागवतम नाइन्थ कैंटो चैप्टर नाइन एंटाइटल द डायनेस्टी ऑफ अंशुमान। टेक्स्ट नंबर 6. श्री भगीरथ उवाच साधवो न्यासिनः शांता साधवो न्यासिनः शांता ब्रह्मिष्ठा लोकपावनाः ब्रह्मिष्ठा लोकपावनाः हरन्त्यघं तेऽङ्गसङ्गात् हरन्त्यघं तेऽङ्गसङ्गात् तेष्वास्ते ह्यगभिर्धरिः तेष्वास्ते ह्यगभिर्धरिः। Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. Bhagirath said, those who are saintly because of devotional service and are therefore in the renounced order, free from material desires, and who are pure devotees, expert in following the regulative principles mentioned in the Vedas, are always glorious and pure in behavior, and are able to deliver all fallen souls. When such pure devotees bathe in your water, the sinful reactions accumulated from other people will certainly be counteracted. For such devotees always keep in the core of their hearts the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who can vanquish all sinful reactions. Purport. Mother Ganges is available to everyone for bathing. Therefore, not only will sinful persons bathe in the Ganges water, but in Haridwar and other holy places where the Ganges flows, saintly persons and devotees will also bathe in the waters of the Ganges. Devotees and saintly persons advanced in the renounced order can deliver even the Ganges. तीर्थिकुर्वन्ति तीर्थानि स्वान्तस्थेन गदाभृत भागवतम 1.13.10। बिकॉज सेंटली डिवोटीज ऑलवेज कीप द लॉर्ड विद इन द कोर ऑफ देयर हार्ट्स दे कैन परफेक्टली क्लेंस द होली प्लेसेस ऑफ ऑल सिनफुल रिएक्शंस देयरफॉर पीपल इन जनरल मस्ट ऑलवेज रिस्पेक्टफुली ऑनर सेंटली पर्सन्स। It is ordered that as soon as one sees a Vaishnava or even a sannyasi, one should immediately offer respects to such a holy man. If one forgets to show respect in this way, one must observe fast for that day. This is a Vedic injunction. One must be extremely careful to refrain from committing offenses at the lotus feet of a devotee or saintly person. There are methods of prayaschitta or atonement, but they are inadequate to cleanse one of sinful reactions. One can be cleansed of sinful reactions only by devotional service, as stated in regard to the history of Ajamil. Kechit kevalaya bhaktya vasudeva parayanaha agham dhunvanti katsnena niharam iva bhaskara. Only a rare person who has adopted complete unalloyed devotional service to Krishna can uproot the weeds of sinful actions with no possibility that they will revive. He can do this simply by discharging devotional service, just as the sun can immediately dissipate fog by its rays. Bhagavatam 6.1.15. If one is under the protection of a devotee and sincerely renders service unto him, by this process of bhakti yoga, one is certainly able to counteract all sinful reactions. This canto and section of Srimad Bhagavatam is describing the dynasty of Vaivasvata Manu. Beginning from his son Ikshvaku and proceeding down further, all the descriptions of personalities who came there are described, and in between there is description of one great personality that comes. And whenever such a great personality comes who has contributed in a very significant way to the name and the glory and the fame of that dynasty, naturally Shukadeva Goswami or Suta Goswami is inspired to speak about that personality, and they take a detour and describe about their pastime and then again come back and continue the description. So the description was going on, and then the King Bahuka, then his son was Sagar Maharaj. Sagar Maharaj was another very wonderful personality, and he, under the, as a Rajarishi, under the guidance of Aurva Muni, perfectly controlled that nature, the passionate nature that he has to properly execute punishment to those who are upstarts without unduly or overly doing that, appropriately chastising them. And then in the later years, under the guidance of Aurva Muni, perform a horse sacrifice for the pleasure of Lord Vishnu. And he did satisfy the Supreme Lord, but during that sacrifice, King Indra stole away the horse, coming in the form of a demon. And Maharaj Sagar, because he had taken the vow to perform the whole sacrifice and would not get up during the whole, till the sacrifice is finished. So he was bound by that vow. So he had two wives, Sumati and Keshini. This section actually describes the descent of Mother Ganga, the amazing pastime that resulted in the descent of Mother Ganga, Loka Pavani, who comes and delivers everyone whoever comes in contact with her. So Maharaj Sagar had two wives, and one was Sumati and another one was Keshini. Keshini, by the way, was from Maharashtra. Vaidarbhi, she was also from Vidarbha Nagari. And this detail is not given so much in the Bhagavatam, it's there. Vishwamitra speaks to Lord Ramchandra after killing Tadaka, when he's taking Ram and Lakshman to Janakpuri for the Swayamvar of Janaki. At that time, on one night they stay on the banks of Mother Ganga. There Lord Ramchandra asks Vishwamitra, "Can you please tell me about..." Amazing how Vishwamitra knows, practically real history teacher. Any place and very complicated history. I read the whole night and still I can't remember anything. Still, it's amazing pastime. So many. so many, Mother Ganga, Himavan, the Himalaya. He was married to the daughter of Meru, Mena. And through her, he got two daughters. One was Ganga, another one was Uma. Uma was married to Lord Shiva, Parvatputri, Parvati. In this way, there's whole, so many pastimes, beautiful pastimes. And then, anyway, so like that, that pastime goes on, and then how Ganga. And then, here it describes, in your dynasty, oh, Kakutsa Kulabhushana, he's come from that dynasty, Lord Ram. Same, Amshuman dynasty of the same Sagar Maharaj. So he's describing your glorious ancestors. So he says, they perform some austerity along with Sagar Maharaj. Bhrigu Muni comes and asks, what benediction you want? He said, one of you will have one son who will continue the dynasty in a glorious way, and another will have 60,000 sons. Which of you would like which one? Keshini says, I want one who will continue the dynasty. And Sumati says, I want to have 60,000. So that whole history is there. Sumati gives birth to a huge pot from which comes all these children who are put in the pots of ghee and then raised 60,000 sons. So the 60,000 sons are sitting there during the Ashwamedh Yajna, and then other son is also sitting there. And then it is performed, and during the when the horse is stolen, then he requests his 60,000 sons. He said, impossible for a demon to come and pick it up from this place because it's completely auspicious and well protected. It must be some demigod who has come in that form. Go and search for the horse, bring it back. And Bhagavatam describes that these 60,000 sons were extremely powerful. And therefore, they were so proud of their influence and their power. As is natural. When you're really powerful and influential, naturally something sticks. So they walk very arrogantly thinking, don't worry, father, we'll get a horse. And they search practically the whole planet, dividing the whole planet into 60,000 units. Each one goes. Sector 1, Sector 2. They search the whole thing. And then somehow they don't find. Then they start aggressively digging into the earth. Digging and very aggressively they go in. And then all of them see the Kapila Ashram. They come into Kapila Ashram where Lord Kapila, Supreme Lord, son of Devahuti, he's sitting there in meditation. And the horse is grazing right next to him. Immediately these people think, aha, here is a rascal. Now he's acting like a big devotee. He's stolen the horse and now he's hiding. Now because he's caught, he wants to escape in the form of trying to be a devotee or a great ascetic. So with his raised weapons, they actually attack him, wanting to actually destroy him. And it is described, Lord Kapila opens his eyes. Generally it is said that when Lord Kapila opened his eyes, through his anger and the rays emanating from his eyes, the 60,000 sons instantaneously burned to ash, just, you know, mounds of ashes, 60,000 mounds of ashes, that's all. Finish. Even Vishwamitra says, because of the kopa of Kapila, Lord Kapila, they were burned to ashes. And I had read this Amar Chitrakatha comic many years ago in my school days, and I remember the 60,000 sons going like this, and Kapila opens his eyes, and you know, powerful beams coming like this, showing the comic like this, beams like Superman, everything burned to ash. But amazingly, seemingly controversial, Shukadeva Goswami specifically makes a statement that Lord Kapila was not at all angered. He was completely in the mode of goodness. How can he become angry? It was simply by that offensive mentality, the fire created by the offensive mentality in the heart of the 60,000 sons, that fire killed instantaneously themselves. Seemingly a contradiction. Vishwamitra is saying there in Ramayana, kopa, because of that kopa, anger. And here it says clearly, he specifically makes one verse. I would like to read that verse. It says, Swashareer Agnina Tavan Mahendra Hrutachetasaha Mahadvyatikrama Hata Bhasmad Abhavan Kshanat. By the influence of Indra, the king of heaven, the sons of Sagar had lost their intelligence and disrespected a great personality. Consequently, fire emanated from their own bodies and they were immediately burned to ashes. So, how do we understand this contradiction? I'm not here to, you know, find a pacifying thing. But the idea is, Ramayana and Mahabharata, there is also Dharmartha Kama Moksha there. If you read this, then you'll get this. And those who are sunless will get suns and things like that. But Bhagavatam deals, this is Paramahamsa Samhita. Even if you see Mahabharata, certain descriptions are there about the Pandavas leaving to the kingdom of God, how they went to the heavenly planets and things like that. While here it clearly says with the self-same bodies they went back to the spiritual world. Bhagavatam deals with the very essence. So, was Lord Kapila really angry? Was Narada Muni really angry with the sons of Kuvera and Manigriva? I mean, Nalakuvara and Manigriva, sons of Kuvera? Why will he be angry? Actually, he took compassion. Seeing the foolishness of having got such a good fortune of being the sons of Kuvera, how they are whiling away. Where is the question of anger in Narada Muni? It was his compassion. Sometimes the father puts the misbehaving child under a very strict authority. You know, some tuition teacher. Maro usko jarurat pada. Sika? And the child is looking at the father. The father is smiling. What can I do? I try to tell you, you rascal, you won't listen. Now that fellow will take care. I have paid him. His responsibility to sort you. It's not that father is happy. Father, with a great restraint, heavy heart, he puts under this kind of a situation. why will the father be angry? Why is the father envious of the child? No, absolutely not. He's happy to see that he's progressing. What do you speak of a sadhu? A great saintly personality. But this negative attitude within the core of their hearts, this great offensive mentality within their heart, is like a fire, actually. These negative emotions, Solinus Radhanath Maharaj was once explaining, these negative emotions is like holding a charcoal in your hand. Srinathji Prabhu gives very famous example. I have heard it from him. What are the difference between jealousy and envy? Says, jealousy means you see someone's car and you feel, I wish I had one like that. Why he has? Envy means when you put fire there. Because of the fire inside. So, here are these arrogant, proud sons of Sagar Maharaj. And they are in that intoxicated situation, are not able to judge who is who, and unnecessarily have so much negativity against a personality like Lord Kapila, who is none other than an expansion of the Supreme Personality of Godhead himself. So therefore, they are actually burned to ashes. So now, then they come back. I mean, then the news reaches Sagar Maharaj. At that time, the grandson of Sagar Maharaj is Anshuman. Because Asamanjasa, he was a very special character. He would take people and drown, children, and drown in the river Saryu and just enjoy seeing them drown. That was Sagar Maharaj and one son like that. But then the whole background is given. He was a mystic yogi, Bhrashta yogi. Little thing was left, therefore he did that. And therefore, disgusted, he was sent away from the kingdom. But after that, all the children whom he had thrown in the river came alive. And then he went away. And then everyone was lamenting, but he never came back. So he did something to get detached himself and walk away. Very special character. His son was Anshuman. Now, Anshuman immediately realized that his uncles were burned to ashes. So he goes there on the order of Sagar Maharaj. He goes. He goes and searches. And then actually finds out. He reaches that place and offers glorious prayers to Lord Kapila, telling it's because of the three modes of nature that these things are happening. It's these three modes, kama yesha, krodha yesha, rajoguna samudbhava, maha ashano, it's an unquenchable fire, vidhi enam iha vairinam, that fire is inside which is burning everyone to ashes. So he prays like that. And Lord Kapila is very pleased by that prayer. And therefore, he opens his eyes and says, what do you want, my son? And he understands her heart that, please release my uncles. He says, the horse you can take. And as far as your uncles, only when Mother Ganges comes from the higher realm and touches the Ganges water, touches these ashes, immediately they will go to the heavenly planets. That's why this even today, that belief is there. Because of that, this tradition is there, that even the ashes of a person is lying us for a long time, it should touch Mother Ganga. But the moment it touches that body whose ash it is, immediately, at least going to the heavenly planet is guaranteed. Because the moment the ash touches, because it was long, long time, thousands of years go by when we will discuss. Thousands of years go by. But when Mother Ganga is brought by Bhagirath, by his austerity, and it touches, immediately they go back to heavenly planets. So that is the belief why this tradition, that at least the ash should touch Mother Ganga. So, so Anshuman is told, and Anshuman goes back, and it is described in Mahabharata, in the Ramayana. He performs austerities for a period of 32,000 years. And he dies. Mother Ganga doesn't come. Anshuman's son is Dilipa. Dilipa is confused. My father failed. After 32,000 years, what am I going to do? Should I do it or not do it halfway like that? And then he does little, and half-hearted, but then Ganga doesn't come. His son is Bhagirath. Bhagirath is Vyavasayatmika Buddhi. Fixed up. He said, I have to get Ganga. And he goes and performs such tremendous austerity for 1,000 years. I mean, this is Satyuga. We're talking about Satyuga where lifespan was very long. He stands on his toes actually, just the tip of the toe, and then lights five fires all around. And once in a month, he will drink a little water like that. Performs tremendous austerity. Determined, let me die, but I won't go back till Mother Ganga doesn't come down. With that determination, he performs this austerity. Seeing that, Mother Ganga is very pleased. Can you imagine? Generations it took before Mother Ganga came. And then Mother Ganga expresses that I will come, but I have two concerns. So what is that? He said, when I descend from the higher realm, my force will be such that I will pierce through and through earth and I will go away to Rasatala. So somebody has to hold me. Who is a male who can actually hold my power and, you know, make sure that it stays? You have to make sure of that personality. And the second concern that I have is when I come there, millions and millions of people every day will come and dump their sinful reactions because they know that by bathing in my waters, they'll be purified. I'll not be able to handle this. This is too much. I mean, everyone keeps on dumping and dumping and dumping. I don't have, you know, there's input is there. Where's the output? I have to release it somewhere. Otherwise, I'll be finished. I'm concerned. What will happen to me? I'll be overburdened by these sinful reactions. And Bhagirath, because he was a great personality, immediately has the presence of mind. So don't worry. I give assurance for both. He says, number one, I will pacify Lord Shiva. Immediately goes and performs tapasya again. He said, I will request Lord Shiva to come and on his jata actually accept. It's described in the Ramayana. Lord Shiva's jata like was Himalaya, a Himalayan mountain with a lot of caves. So much so that Ganga went and she didn't come out at all. Then Bhagirath had to say, my Lord, release it. I mean, that was the power of Lord Shiva. Like so many caves. She came with full power. That little pride was there, Mother Ganga. She was thinking, who will hold me? Hold? Completely held up. Then ultimately he had to just put his jata and bring out action. So Bhagirath pleased Lord Shiva, Ashutosh, by another years of austerity. And of course, Shiva is very easily pleased. Ashutosh. Ashu means quick and Tosh means happy, satisfied. Very quickly satisfied. So therefore, that problem was solved. For the second problem, Bhagirath is telling here. Bhagirath said, as regards your concern, my dear Mother Ganga, that millions of people will come and bathe and dump their sinful reactions. And what will happen to you? How will you be able to handle that? This is my assurance. Those who are saintly because of devotional service and are therefore in the renounced order, free from material desires, and who are pure devotees, expert in following the regulative principles mentioned in the Vedas, are always glorious and pure in behavior and are able to deliver all fallen souls. When such pure devotees bathe in your water, the sinful reactions accumulated from other people will certainly be counteracted. For such devotees always keep in the core of their hearts the Supreme Personality of Godhead who can vanquish all sinful reactions. This is the glory of a pure devotee of the Lord, which is described in the sixth canto as Muktanam Api Siddhanam. Narayana Parayanaha Sudurlabha Prashantatma Kotishvavi Mahamuni. Muktanam api Siddhanam, amongst all the perfect beings, amongst all the liberated souls, to find a Narayana Parayana, a pure devotee of the Lord, Sudurlabha, very, very rare. Prashantatma, same here, this word. Sadhavo Nyasina Shanta. Prashantatma, completely peace. Why peace? Why at completely peace with themselves? Because there are no waves created by the modes of passion, ignorance, and even goodness. It's pure goodness. Prashantatma. So, Kotishvavi Mahamune, very difficult to be found. Such great souls, because they carry the Lord within the core of their hearts, actually when they bathe in you, O Mother Ganga, you will be purified. That is why the Gaudiya Acharyas sing, Gangara parasha hoile paschate pavan. Only when you touch Mother Ganga and bathe in her, then you get purified. Paschate pavan. All these sinful reactions go away. But, darshane pavitra karo ei tumar gun. O Vaishnav Thakur, simply by beholding your transcendental form, a person is cleansed. And cleansed in such a way, he will never be inclined to perform sinful reactions again. That's the power of a saintly person. You may cleanse in the Ganga, go and again like a rolling in the mud and then again taking bath. Kunjara Shautavat. People may go dump and again come back next year and dump and go. But the great souls have the power that they remove Kechit Kevalaya Bhaktya Vasudeva Parayana Akham Dunvanti Karsniya Niharam Eva Bhaskara. Completely from the root they remove the tendency to commit sinful reactions. So that there is no chance of a person becoming sinful again. That's the power. That is why Mother Ganga is called Bhagirathi. By the power, by the austerity of Bhagirath, who was determined at any cost to get Mother Ganga to deliver his ancestors, 60,000 of his uncles, or great-great uncle, grand-uncles. So when I read this, some few thoughts that I would like to share. The first thing that came to my mind was the Bhagirath of Kali Yuga is Srila Prabhupada. Why? Because in his heart, he had a wonderful facility. Bhagirath could have enjoyed the kingdom of Sagar Maharaj. But right at the outset, he decided that my goal of life is let it go as an austerity, simply in tapasya. Let me sacrifice this life simply to get Mother Ganga so that my ancestors, everyone will be delivered. So, Srila Prabhupada also could have lived in Vrindavan, could have spent the rest of his life. But then, he did tremendous tapasya. A lifetime of preparation. Right at the beginning, actually, he never had this desire of doing all this. He had a desire that he should be helping his ancestors. Our ancestors there in the parampara. All his ancestors who are constantly performing tapasya to bring that Ganga so that everyone can take bath. But all their desires was fully not fulfilled because they were thinking, our master Mahaprabhu has said, Prithivite Ache Jata Nagaradigra. This Ganga should, because when Mahaprabhu came, he brought the transcendental Ganga from the spiritual world. And he, by the Panchatattva, in the 7th chapter of Adi Leela, it describes the Panchatattva opened the storehouse of prema and allowed this flood which didn't leave Pangu, Andha, Langa, everyone. Everyone was drowned except Kashir Mayavadi. They went on an uphill and sat there. But Mahaprabhu went there also and drowned them. Didn't leave anyone. Saw that everyone was drowned and touched by that. Prema ki Ganga. He actually drowned them. But then, after some time, because of the influence of Kali Yuga, I got stuck somewhere. And it was not coming. It was lost. During the time of Bhakti Vinod Thakur, Vaishnavism became simply an excuse of beggars to just beg and make a living. And so many Aul Baul, Karta Bhaja, and all this, all kinds of apasampradayas. And then the Britishers, who are trying to prove that this is all nonsense, so many forces had actually blocked this. So Bhakti Vinod did his tapasya, brought to a large extent. It's not fulfilled. Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati. So he prayed, Bhakti Vinod prayed, I should get another son who will continue this mission and flow the whole planet with this Ganges of holy name, and we'll discuss what that Ganges is, which will actually drown. And Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur still had a desire. I've done substantial work in India, but what about the whole world? So his heart was unfulfilled. Therefore, his expansion in the form of his sons, like sannyasis, he would say, go to the Western world, preach there. Preach in the English language. Srila Prabhupada, in the spirit of Bhagirath, really understood the mood, the spirit in which his ancestors did this whole tapasya. He understood the essence of it. And he dedicated. He also prayed at the feet of Rupa Goswami, prayed at Shantipur, Advaita Bhavan, that my Lord, O Lord Advaita, you cried with Saligram and, you know, Ganga Jal, you cried for the Lord to come and descend. Please, this is the order of my spiritual master. I don't know how to execute it. I can't do it myself. You just do it. You help me. He prayed at the Bhajan Kutir of Rupa Goswami. Sri Chaitanya Mano Abhishtam Sthapitam Yena Bhutale. So he knew, you know the heart of Lord Chaitanya. You can release that mercy. And therefore we see Srila Prabhupada's, because of that tapasya, which was his intense desire. Tapasya means voluntarily, readily, voluntarily accepting inconvenience for the betterment, for a higher purpose. Actually, Prabhupada was ready to do anything, die a million deaths. What is the proof? He had heart attacks. He didn't want to turn back. Take a, let me die there. Anyway, one life gone in the service. No problem. Krishna showed that determination. What was he ready to do? He was ready for anything. Therefore, Krishna used him to actually release this Ganga. And what is that Ganga? Srila Prabhupada, real Ganga was actually his books and the holy name. The holy name, Cheto Darpana Marjanam Bhava Maha Davagni Nirvapana. He gave the holy name which can cleanse our heart and remove the material existence for all time. And not only that, this is only take, with all due respects, it will take you only to the heavenly planets, bathing in Mother Ganga. But bathing in the Ganges of the holy name, Harinamamrita, will Sheya Kairava Chandrika Vidyavadu Jeevanam Ananda Ambudhi Vardhanam Purna Amrita Aswadanam Sarvatma Snapanam. How much benefit simply if one allows himself to be drenched by the mercy that is contained in these two nectarian sounds, Krishna. So that was his one Ganga. Tripathaga. Mother Ganga is called Tripathaga because she went in three different directions. One in the western, one in the northern, one is southern direction. That was actually Bhagirath. He was driving the chariot and everywhere Mother Ganga was coming. So similarly, Srila Prabhupada also. One is he sent forth the holy name. Another Ganga was the Ganga of the Bhaktivedanta purports. Why? Because in his Bhagavad Gita as it is, glorifying the Bhagavad Gita, it says, Mala nirmochanam pumsam jalasnanam dine dine sakrit gitamrita snanam samsala malanashan. Mala nirmochanam pumsam jalasnanam dine dine. When we get contaminated or dirty by sweating and dirt that comes and collects every day when we are out there walking in this world, we come home and take a bath under the shower. Start the shower and freshed, refreshed, replenished, cleansed. But every day you have to do. Because after 24 hours, again you are sweating. But then, sakrit means only once, Gitamrita Snanam. If you bathe in the message of the Bhagavad Gita, Samsara Mala Nashanam. The Mala. Why Bhagavatam is called Amala? Because there is no Mala there. This will completely cleanse you of all Mala. All unwanted things, which is the reason why we are suffering in this world. Wrong priorities we have set up because of ignorance. All kinds of ignorance is removed. Nashto moha, smitirladhva, tutprasada, sitosmi, gatasandeha, karishye vachanam tava. And what is this vachanam? Sarvadharman parityajyamamekam tvaranam raja aham tvam sarvapape bhyomokshishyami. I will cleanse you from all sinful reactions. Don't worry, just come to me. Why have you set so many other priorities? Come to me, totally surrender unto me. Sakrit Gitamrita Snanam. If we in the mood of Arjun really accept the message of the Gita, even once perfectly, samsara malanashanam. Bharatamrita Sarvasvam Vishnu Vaktrad Vinishvitam Gita Gangodakam Pitva Punarjanmana Vidyate. One who drinks water of the Ganges attains salvation. So what to speak of one who drinks the nectar of Bhagavad Gita? Prabhupada writes in the purport, Mother Ganga flows from the lotus feet of the Lord. But Gita flows from the lotus mouth of the Lord. Which is better? Of course, you may say, Prabhuji, Brahmaji has said, Angani yasya sakalendriya vrittimanti. All the parts of the body of the Lord are absolute, absolutely, no doubt. Still, impartially speaking, coming from the lotus feet is one thing, but coming from the lotus mouth of the Lord, it's superior. That's what he says. Srila Prabhupada writes. It's so nectarian. So that is his Gita. Right? Good meditation for marathon. Gita, that's the Ganga flowing there. So much Ganga flowing there. We should inherit this headache. See, Sagar Maharaj had a headache. Kya karenge? 60,000 mere bachche aise ho gaye. Right? Amshuman took his headache. My father had his headache. Father, you don't worry. I will take that, inherit that headache. You be free. But Amshuman could not finish. Dilip took his headache. Don't worry, Father, I will continue. He was not able to achieve. Bhagira said, don't worry, I'll take all of your headaches, I will do the needful. Ready to go to hell to relieve the headache. Gopis once were told by Narada Muni, Krishna has a headache. Krishna has a headache? Yeah, a transcendental headache. He said, what is the cure? Dust from the feet of his devotees. Nobody would give. But when Narada went to gopis, they scratched the dirt, put it in pain balm bottles. give it to Krishna. Emergency, you know, he should keep it under his pillow. Anytime he gets a headache, let him just apply. dust of lotus feet balm. So when Narada said, do you know what it means? You're going to go to hell forever, suffer forever. The gopis said, even to relieve 1 second of headache of Krishna, we are ready to go to hell eternally. I mean, this was their consciousness. That's why gopis are what they are, and their dust is what is, what it is. That's their spirit. Mahaprabhu had a headache. He asked Haridas, Haridas, what will happen to the trees and the animals and the insects? What about them? Because Tasam Brahma Mahadyonir Aham Bija Pratha, I am the father of every living. You may think of only your, you know, relatives. 60,000 or 80,000 or whatever the population of. But what about, I have to think of all the 84 lakh species. What about them, O Haridas? Haridas said, don't worry, my Lord. When we chant the holy name, these vibrations, actually, there is a reflection. That's not a reflection. Actually, it's actually the trees chanting, the dogs and the cats and the insects, they also get delivered when they hear the holy name. And Haridas Thakur, to spread that holy name, was actually ready to go to hell. Literally went through hell, beating in 22 marketplaces. Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur had another transcendental headache. I have done to some extent something in India. But what about Mahaprabhu's statement? Prithivite ache jato nagaradigram. Prabhupada grasped the essence of Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur's heart. And he was ready to go to hell. And literally he went to hell, leaving Vrindavan and going into the, you know, ghettos in New York. He was ready. He didn't want to come back, even though he had a ticket. He could have come back. He actually said, nothing doing till I finish the job. Just like Hanumanji. Hanumanji, in the spirit of being the real servant, he said, shame on me. How can I go and show my face to Ram without getting information of Mother Sita? Until I get Mother Sita's information, how can I go back and show my face? Better to die. He decided to fast to death. Only that determination actually inspired him to actually know more about it. And then ultimately, of course, he got much more than what Ram expected. He not only found Sita, he not only pacified Sita, but pacified Lord Ram after coming back. That's why he embraced Alingan. Very few people got Lord Ram's Alingan. And one of the four most fortunate souls was Hanumanji. Kaha Bharata Samatruma Priya Bhai. Sahasa Vadana Tumharo Yasha Gavai Asakai Sripati Kantha Lagavai. He actually embraced Hanumanji. So in this parampara, we are inheriting a headache. So Prabhupada's headache was, transcendental headache was, I'm an old man, I'm going away, I have done my best. But then, what about the others who are all burning, potentially burning to ashes? Actually, all are dead bodies flapping around for some time, that's all. Potentially, all are burning to ashes. Some are burnt already, some are almost on the verge of death, 80% burn injury is over, 20% left. And some future they are going to be burnt. Samsara dava nal lida loka. By the lust, anger, envy, it's all these kind of things. Somehow, we have been touched by the Ganges of this message of Bhagavad Gita, which is actually Gangodakam. It is Gangodakam pitva punarjanmana vidyate. This Ganga will not simply take you to heavenly planets, Kshine Punne Martelokam Vishanti, where you fall down after your pious credits are exhausted. Pitva, Gangodakam Pitva, Punarjanmana Vidyate. There's no question of rebirth. Because this gives the transcendental message of Krishna. Then he gave Srimad Bhagavatam. In the third canto, Lord Shaunak Muni tells Suta Goswami, please tell about the conversation between Vidura and Maitreya. Because that conversation of Harikatha is like Mother Ganga. anyone who drowns in that conversation will be completely purified of all sinful reactions. Even in the 10th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, Parikshit Maharaj is encouraging Sukadeva Goswami, "I have heard for so long, don't get discouraged, my Lord, please speak." Why? He says, Krishna Katha, Vasudeva Katha Prush. Vasudeva Katha Prashna Purusham Strin Punatihi Vaktaram Prichakam Srotrim Tatpada Salilam Yatha. He said, Vasudeva Katha Prashna, I have asked you some questions, O Sukadeva Goswami, please reply these questions. Because Vasudeva Katha Prashna, Sukadeva Goswami is congratulating Parikshit Maharaj for asking questions, good questions. Vasudeva Katha Prashna, the inquiries regarding Vasudeva Katha, about Lord's pastimes, Purusham Strin Punatihi, three kinds of people are delivered. Vaktaram, those who speak, Prichakam, those who inquire, and Srotrims, all those people, audience who hear. Tat Pada Salilam Yatha, just like Mother Ganga who comes from her lotus feet, purifies the three worlds. Similarly, the Harikatha that is given by these great souls actually purifies the three worlds. And then he also gave Chaitanya Charitamrita. And in Chaitanya Charitamrita, there's another verse connected with Mother Ganga, where in the Adilila, second chapter, second verse, Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami says, Krishnot Kirtana Gana Nartana Kala Pathojani Brajita Sadbhakta Valihamsa Chakra Madhupa Shreni Viharaspadam Karunanandi Kaladhvanirvahatume Jihvamaru Prangane Sri Chaitanya Dayanidhe Tavalasa Leela Sudha Swardhuni. Swardhuni is another name for Mother Ganga. He is glorifying Lord Chaitanya's pastimes, saying that Sri Chaitanya Dayanidhe, O my Lord, O ocean of mercy, O ocean of compassion, Lord Chaitanya, Tava Lasad, Lasad Kundalam, we say, na? Lasad means your effulgent, brilliant, transcendental pastimes. Lasad Leela Sudha. The pastimes of Lord Chaitanya, when it is recited by anybody, it is like Ganga is flowing through his mouth. The pastimes of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, wherever it is recited, it's like Mother Ganga flowing. And anyone who is there, Karunanandi Kaladhvanir Vahatume. Karunanandi, when it enters the ears of the recipients, of the hearers, then what happens? Jihva Maru Prangane. The tongue, which is compared to a desert. Why tongue is compared to a desert? Because the tongue is desperately wanting to taste nectar. And therefore, it is talking so much nonsense. Some film songs, poetries, and other pastimes of this world. Stardust. Hot gossips. This person did this, this. People desperately want to taste some nectar, rasa. But this rasa is like passing urine in the desert. A little urine passed in the desert. Before you pass, it's disappeared. Just wet sand, you see, and that also disappears after some time. How much water is needed to make the whole desert fertile? Even buckets and buckets, if you pour, by the time you pour, the bucket is gone. Only a unlimited, eternal flow of Ganga, if that flows in the desert-like region, only then the desert will be fully refreshed and become soaked with the nectar, and then there will be a river flowing there, right in the middle of the desert. So the tongue's desire to taste rasa is like the desert, and all these so-called topics of this world, including Brahman, so dry. Sarvabhauma said that. Tarkika Srigala Sanghe bhyu bhyu kari, ebe sei mukhe sada bole Krishna Hari. I was talking about Brahman, Brahman, Brahman. It's so dry. There was no happiness, there was no relish. But Mahaprabhu's pastime is like Ganga, Swardhuni, Leela Sudha Swardhuni. It flows, never ending. But merely Ganga flowing is not such a pleasing sight. Pleasing, but not so pleasing. This Ganga, when Krishna Utkirtana Gana Nartana Kala, if that same Ganga has beautiful lotus flowers, then Ganga looks all the more beautiful. Similarly, when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's pastimes are chanted, people sing about those pastimes, people dance to those beautiful pastimes with all the musical instruments and accompaniments. Ghanta baje, baje madhur, Shankha baje, ghanta baje, madhur, madhur baje. So, when Mahaprabhu's pastimes and all his associates and all these pastimes, already they are like Mother Ganga, but when they are very sweetly chanted, sung, and there is very nice kirtan going on and everyone is singing those pastimes, it's like Ganga further beautified by beautiful lotus flowers. So, Krishna Utkirtana Gana Nartana Kala Pathojani. Pathojani means flower, lotus flowers, Bhrajita. They become all the more beautiful. And wherever there is Mother Ganga with all these beautiful lotuses, Sad Bhaktavali Hamsa Chakra Madhupa. The bees, the swans, and the Chakravaka birds. These are like king of birds. They don't go like crows sitting in some dustbins. They are found only in the Himalayas where Ganga flows, beautiful flowers. So Vaishnavas, Sadbhaktavali, rows and rows of Vaishnavas. The Deepavali we say, no? Avali means a row of Deepa. Sadbhaktavali, the Vaishnavas who are seekers of nectar, who are like relishes, sargrahi. They need real nectar. Hamsa chakra madhupa, shreni, rows and rows of them. Vihara aspadam. It is an abode of resting place for the Vaishnavas. They leave everything and run to such a place to relish the nectar of Mother Ganga, beautified by this beautiful song and dance of the beautiful pastimes. These pastimes are not only quenching that thirst permanently in the tongue of their heart, the desert of their tongue, but also completely satisfies their heart. And we find a great personality like Srila Prabhupada did so much tapasya just so that this Ganga could flow. And the third Ganga that Srila Prabhupada flowed, holy name, his books, and also his sincere, faithful followers. They're going all around the world. They are like these people that is described here, who are saintly because of devotional service and are therefore renounced order, free from material desires, who are pure devotees, expert in following the regulative principles, always glorious and pure in behavior and are able to deliver all fallen souls. When such pure devotees bathe in your water, the sinful reactions accumulated from other people will certainly be counteracted. For such devotees always keep the core in their hearts, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who can vanquish all sinful reactions. Mother Ganga, you have to travel there. Sometimes you may bring in some jugs and some cans. But because the devotees, pure devotees of the Lord, carry the Lord within their heart, wherever they go and they speak, that speech is actually Mother Ganga flowing. Because they are walking Bhagavat, Because they are walking Bhagavat, talking Bhagavat. They carry the Lord. And their words which bathe the lotus feet of the Lord in that service attitude, when they speak, every word that comes out is like Mother Ganga. Billion times more powerful. Not only to remove the sinful reactions from the heart of the devotees, but give them pure love for Krishna. So that there is no inclination for committing sinful reactions again. It's not that you take bath and then you again come back and roll in the mud of sinful activities, but the tendency goes away. Bhagirath had this realization. He really understood the power of Vaishnavas. Much more than Mother Ganga. Not in an offensive manner, all glories to her. We are nothing. We are like flies circling around stool. How are we to pass comments like this? But when speaking from an absolute platform, this is what is the truth. This is what the Bhagavad says. In fact, just in the previous, previous pastime, in the ninth canto, again, in the same, going back to Maharaj Ambarish, in this beautiful pastime, I would just not take much time, because here we saw that the 60,000 sons of Maharaj Sagar were arrogant and offensive. And therefore, that fire actually burned them to ashes. Similarly, Durvas Muni, even though a Brahmana, he had this offensive mentality, trying to judge another Vaishnava, Maharaj Ambarish, who externally looked very much penny, pounds and, you know, shillings man, a king. Like Mahaprabhu avoided associating with Maharaj Pratap Rudra. King means money, women, surrounded by all this position, power. I don't want to be connected with that. Durvasa made the mistake of thinking him to be an ordinary person, not understanding the glory of such a great personality like Ambarish Maharaj. But when potentially the fire which was burning into ashes, Sudarshan followed him. In one sense, Kala, in the roop of Kala, we are all followed by Sudarshan Chakra of time. We're going to be burned to ashes. But before the Sudarshan touches us, if we can only have the same realization of Durvas Muni, and we can also take shelter of the Lord and His devotees and actually take advantage of this nectar. Please listen to Durvas Muni's realization. And the Supreme Personality of Godhead speaks in 6 verses. I don't know whether I should go ahead. I'll go ahead nevertheless, because this purport is that actually talking about the glory of the devotees. What is the use of me and you speaking about it? Let the Lord speak for himself. Why the devotees are great? Why he holds these devotees in such an exalted position, in such a big pedestal? Durvas Muni, the great mystic, scorched by the heat of the Sudarshan Chakra, fell at the lotus feet of Narayan. His body trembling, he spoke as follows: O infallible, unlimited Lord, protector of the entire universe, you are the only desirable objective for all devotees. I am a great offender, my Lord. Please give me protection. O my Lord, O Supreme Controller, without knowledge of your unlimited prowess, I have offended your most dear devotee. Very kindly save me from the reactions of this offense. You can do everything, for even if a person is fit for going to hell, you can deliver him simply by awakening within his heart the holy name of your Lordship. When he had this proper attitude of repentance, Prabhupada writes, when has a person become fit to go back home and get back to Godhead? He should have 2 things: repentance and penance. If a person is put into the prison house, why? Because he has offended. And if he tries to run away from the prison house, he's trying to justify. I was right and you people put me in the prison. Main dekhta hun kaise mere ko andar rakhoge. But if a prisoner really, I did a mistake, I shouldn't have done it. The idea of the government putting people into the prison is, you rascals realize what you did was wrong. You misused your independence. First realize it, then we will release you. So the first thing is deep, deep, deep repentance. I did a nonsense. That's why I'm here. Don't justify nonsense. Accept, I'm a nonsense. Simply don't say I'm a nonsense and continue your nonsense. True repentance is followed by penance. True repentance is followed by penance. And to the extent the penance is full of, or the repentance is full of regret of the previous past, appreciation for the intervention of the Lord, gratitude for that kind of unconditional mercy that has been received, to that extent the penance will be very strong. That penance will be like, that determination to do penance will not be strong unless it is has this regret, deep appreciation and gratitude for the intervention. So, at the time of initiation, what do? We take three vows at least. Two main vows. The first vow is no more meat eating, no intoxication, no illicit sex, no gambling. What? Why this? This is what trying to enjoy has brought us into this world. No more nonsense. This is the penance. Penance is no more nonsense, no more this and this and this and this. But what is the repentance? Prayaschitta. Prabhupada talks in the purport about prayaschitta. In the Nectar of Instruction, Rupa Goswami, Prabhupada writes, real prayaschitta is to awaken our dormant Krishna consciousness. That comes by chanting the holy name. So real prayaschitta is no more. Till now, I was glorifying about myself. Janasya mohoyam aham mameti. From now onwards, no more glorifying myself. I will only glorify you, my Lord. At least to begin with 16 rounds. At least for 1.5 hours a day, I'll glorify you. And hopefully, kirtaniya sada hari. No more, I have glorified myself enough. Now I want to glorify you. This is repentance. And the penance is, things that stop me from glorifying, I will not do it again. And in this consciousness, I will serve in the mood of a servant of the servant of the servant. Which means, which is my natural constitutional position. So to the extent we actually realize, to that extent, this vow we will take seriously. And this vow will really be effective. Otherwise, you know, we keep just taking it lightly and we won't get out of this prison house. So the Lord is speaking. The Lord is personally speaking from his heart, the glory of such devotees. The Supreme Personality of Godhead said to the Brahmana, I am completely under the control of my devotees. Indeed, I am not at all independent. Because my devotees are completely devoid of material desires, I sit only within the cores of their hearts. Or to speak of my devotee, even those who are devotees of my devotee are very dear to me. The Lord is supremely independent. Even Lord Brahma, Lord Shiva cannot control. But he becomes controlled. You know? Bhaktair jitatvam. He's conquered by the love of his devotee. O best of the Brahmins, without saintly persons for whom I am the only destination, I do not desire to enjoy my transcendental bliss and my supreme opulences. Krishna is Atmaram. He is blissful, all bliss. His bliss personified. And he has all opulences, Shadaishwarya Purna. But in that Vaikuntha, he can't enjoy if he doesn't have these kind of devotees around him. In the Brihad Bhagavatamrita, Krishna was, even though he was in Dwarka surrounded by Satyabhama and Rukmini and all that, he was always thinking of the gopis. Rukmini said, you know, he's sleeping and suddenly starts, "Hey Radhe, hey Lalite, hey Vishaka." And then I see him, he's crying and crying, his pillows are wet. And sometimes he goes into that Tribhanga form as if holding a flute, and for hours together he's sleeping like this. Satyabhama says, what to speak of sleeping? Sometimes even walking also he forgets. He always keeps talking about those gopis. We are wives only in name. Krishna ultimately agreed, what can I do? Actually, I wanted to, immediately after Mathura, I wanted to go back to Vrindavan. You sent me a letter, desperate letter, come and save me. Therefore I came, otherwise I wouldn't have come. Satyabhama, you also. Actually, you remind me of those gopis, therefore I got you married. Otherwise, I had no concern for you. You know, heart of my heart, I love the gopis. Everyone accepts fully. Bharat Bhagavatamrita deals with this. Actually tells about these pastimes. Krishna expressed, and all the gopis and all these people agreed. Uddhava, the most intimate associate, agreed wholeheartedly. We have no love. We have no love. Uddhava is considered the most intimate person in whole of Dwarka. Eating, sleeping, every time staying together, everything that he wears is Nirmalya of Krishna. He thought he was the most closest associate. But when he saw the gopis, he says, I want to take the dust from their feet. Krishna, the whole Vrindavan is Shunyaitam Jagat Sarvam Gopa Gopi Virahename. That's what Krishna says. Krishna feels like that. For him, Vrindavan is what it is because of the wonderful association of this kind of associates who are ready to die a million deaths. Shachi Mata was ready to die a million deaths to protect Mahaprabhu when he jumped and fell down and hurt himself. He said, let all my pious creatures go to him. Let me die a million times. He should not suffer. I can't see him suffering. And therefore, the Lord says, I do not desire to enjoy my transcendental bliss and my supreme opulences without them. Why? Why are these people so dear to Krishna? They conquer their heart. Since pure devotees give up their homes, wives, children, relatives, riches, and even their lives simply to serve me without any desire for material improvement in this life or in the next, how can I give up such devotees at any time? Generally, he says, Prabhupada writes here, people are so interested in their own body. Hey, Durvas Muni, he was so interested in his own body that he wanted to kill the body of a Vaishnava. Therefore, he did not have very good intelligence. And how can an unintelligent person be delivered by the Supreme Personality of Godhead? But Maharaj Ambarish was actually ready to die. Okay, if this is what it means, okay. And then he says, as chaste women bring their gentle husbands under control by service, the pure devotees who are equal to everyone and completely attached to me in the core of the heart, bring me under their full control. Krishna is saying this. Actually, I am the supreme controller, but my devotees bring me under their control. How? As a chaste woman bring their gentle husbands under control. By their chastity, loyalty, and by their service attitude, a chaste wife completely brings a gentle husband under her control. It's not that each one is trying to control and dominate or no. Each one is trying to serve. And that's how a husband comes under the control of his wife. Similarly, Krishna says, even I am though I am controller, but I completely come under the control of this, the devotees. Krishna concludes, Lord concludes, the pure devotee is always within the core of my heart and I am always in the heart of the pure devotee. My devotees do no one anything but me. and I do not know anyone else but them. And so therefore, when we see here also the same thing is expressed by Srila Prabhupada in the purport. Because these devotees carry the Lord in their heart. The pure devotees reside in the heart of the Lord. That Lord resides in the heart of the devotee. Because the pure devotees reside in the heart of the Lord, they know the heart of the Lord. And when Krishna makes some statements, they know the heart of the statement. That's why the Bhakti Padanta purport is so important. Because devotees live in the heart of the Lord. Sadhavo hridayomayam. And whatever Krishna speaks, the essence of the statement, the heart of the statement, the conclusion, the spirit of the law. There is a letter of the law and there is a spirit of the law. The pure devotees live in the heart of the Lord. Therefore, they know the heart of the Lord. So, therefore, this Ganga that flows through their purports, the great Acharya's purports, is actually, if we allow ourselves to, with faith and eagerness and as proper service attitude, and we can actually take advantage. Sitting here, right here in Mumbai, Chaupati, we can actually bathe in Ganga. You don't have to even go to Banganga. Right here, you can actually taste that. And we have very, very good news for all of you. We have a wonderful devotee from the Madhva Sampradaya, Sripad Vidyabhushan, amazing singer. He has sung so many beautiful bhajans of our Krishna consciousness also. We are very fortunate that he has come here today, and he will be